chief of sinners, though I be. It's hard to say, isn't it? It's hard to sing sometimes, to think ourselves as that's who I am. That's who we are, that each one of us, when we stand before God who is holy and perfect, become aware of our own shortcomings. And so today I want to talk about how we can be forgiven, how we can receive a fresh beginning, a new start, by confessing and praying for one another. God restores us through his Son, Jesus Christ. The passage that we're looking at is from the book of James, which is probably one of the earliest of the Old Testament epistles. And James was the head teacher, the head of the Christian church in Jerusalem. And as he was leading this church, there was a great event that happened in Jerusalem, and it's recorded in Acts 7 and 8. There was a young man named Stephen. He got selected to help care for the poor, and he lived out his faith in such a bold way that what happened to Stephen? He was stoned. He was murdered. And in Acts 7 and 8, the Christian church at that time, the Jews in Jerusalem that had converted to follow Jesus Christ, they were dispersed. They were scattered. And so James, in the very first line of his book, writes to who? Let's read this verse together. To the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. So imagine, if you will, that you were a Jew, you followed this way of life your entire life, and then you got converted, you changed religions. You said, now Jesus is my Savior. I don't have to follow my Jewish ways anymore. I can, but I've been set free from earning my salvation. There's been one sacrifice that's given for all. And so this change has happened in your life. And to make matters worse, because you take a stand for your faith, when Stephen is killed, you're afraid, and so you get dispersed to places you've never lived before, places you've never seen before, places that do not know what following Jesus means. And so life was hard. Life was a struggle. How many of you have ever moved from one place to another place, all right? Packing's a lot of fun, right? Moving is a lot of fun. Starting over, it's hard. And then to make matters worse, for those Christians, there was nobody who understood them as Christians, as followers of Jesus. And so James's letter is all about encouraging those who have been scattered to stay strong in their faith. In verses 2 and 3, let's read these verses together. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. All right? So he's saying, you've been scattered, and even though you're facing trials and sufferings, what kind of attitude, how should you view your suffering? As pure? Really? That's in the Bible? You know? I don't know about you, but when I suffer and face trials, I'm usually not joyful about it, all right? My wife hears about it, okay? You know, but why in the world would James write to those who have been scattered, to those who are starting over, to those that are different than everybody else they live about, that when you face hardship and trials, consider it pure joy, because the testing of your faith produces what? Perseverance. All right, give me some more of that, all right? But God knows that when we develop perseverance, trusting in God, it changes us, it strengthens us, it brings us closer to God, and allows us to become more and more like Jesus. That when the world is watching us, they see Jesus, because in the midst of suffering, we know God's got us. We know God has a plan. We know that we don't have to despair, but we can trust in God. And so now, jumping all the way through the book of James, this is really small print, but in James chapter 5, right before our text, he's telling the Christians who are scattered, Be patient, be patient, be patient and stand firm. Be, you know, patient. Persevere. Remember Job, how he persevered. For the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So kind of leading right up into our text today is this whole idea of patience and perseverance, of struggling in your faith, struggling in this world, but hang in there in Jesus Christ. And I really think what James is saying in this passage is at the heart of endurance is what? Prayer. Let me say that again. At the heart of endurance, at the heart of perseverance, this is not about us being strong, but it's about staying connected to God who is strong for us. And so we do that through prayer. And so as we read this text today from James chapter 5, he says this word over and over, pray, pray for one another, pray. And prayer connects us to the strength that is in our Heavenly Father. So he starts off in our text, verse 13, if any of you is in trouble, if you're suffering, if you're persecuted, if you're in the midst of a trial, he should do what? Pray, all right? And so straightforward, he just says that out. And so I want to talk to some of you today who maybe you are a little bit overwhelmed. Maybe you're coming here today and you're overwhelmed financially. You've kind of dug yourself in a little bit of a financial hole. Maybe you're overwhelmed just relationally. You're stuck in a relationship and aren't sure how to make it better. Maybe you're overwhelmed because there's something coming up in the future and you're just dreading. Maybe you're overwhelmed because of persecution that's happening at your workplace, that when you stand for your faith, you know, you feel like an outcast. Whatever you may be feeling overwhelmed about, pray. This word for pray means to continually plead to God for comfort, to plead to God for strength. And so in my life, I've got a couple of things that's been overwhelming us. Since Christmas, we've been doing a kitchen project in our house, all right? We tore all the cupboards out. We tore out the sink. We didn't have a dishwasher or a sink in our house for about 2 months, all right? My wife was overwhelmed, okay? I said, well, they'll take care of themselves, all right? And she says, no, that's not how the way it works. And so we finally have our kitchen put back together. But while we were doing this whole kitchen project, guess what happened to the rest of the house? Whoa, it got deep, all right? And my parents are coming on Saturday. And so we're in cleaning mode at our house. And it's like, oh, will it ever be ready? And have you ever been there? All right, just things get shoved aside. Well, you focus on something, and you know that you have a deadline. So pray for us, okay? Especially for our basement, okay? Pray for us. The other thing that's going on in the life of our church, Kyle and Hannah have taken Hannah has taken a call, and next Sunday is going to be their last Sunday here at Talmadge Lutheran Church. And it overwhelms me when you lose two-thirds of your ministry team. But I look out at all of you, and I know we have lots of great volunteers to step right in, and I think that's what it takes. I may be overwhelmed, but you know what I'm doing a lot of? I'm praying. I hope you're praying too, that God may be at work in this church. And so whatever you're coming here today, whatever is overwhelming you, know that God is with you, that God is for you, that God has a plan for you. Pray. Reach out to him. So if you are in trouble, if you're suffering, pray. If you're experiencing good times, if you're cheerful, if you're happy, pray with a song. That's what I think praise songs are. It's praying with a song. And then this is kind of a translation that I read a commentary that really got me thinking, that a lot of the times when you read this passage, is anybody sick? This word for sick is austheno. It can mean to be illness, to be sick, but it can also mean to be weak or feeble, to be impotent, to feel that there's nothing that you can do about your situation. One of the passages that Paul uses this passage in his writing is from 2 Corinthians, where he talks about the thorn of his flesh, how he prayed for three times, Lord, would you remove it? The Lord said to him in 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest in me. The same word that James uses, that's translated in our English Bibles to sick, is the same one that Paul uses here to describe his spiritual wrestling with this thorn in his flesh, this weakness that shows that he can't rely on himself. So he goes on to say, this is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And so I'm going to say today that I don't think James is talking about sickness. I think he's talking about being spiritually sick or spiritually weak. That in all of the trials and all of the hardships and all the sufferings of being persecuted, is any of you spiritually weak? Is anybody you struggling in your faith? Know that you're not alone. Go to the church. Call the elders of the church to pray with you, to anoint, literally pour oil over you, that you may be blessed by the Lord, covered by the Lord's blessing physically and spiritually. And so as we think about this, if we are weak, sometimes in church, we don't like to show other people what we're struggling with. And we put on our happy face, I'm in church, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. What would happen if when you came to church, you were honest? It's, yeah, my wife's not doing well. I'm struggling with that. Or there's somebody at work just really annoying me. What if we asked one another, what can I pray for you about? Not just how are you doing, is there anything I can pray for you? And so that we can be honest with each other and seek that support and those prayers from each other, that we may be strengthened. It goes on to say in our English translation that the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. What if instead we read that as the prayer offered in faith will actually save, and that Greek word can mean save, this spiritual weak person. That when we pray for one another, it strengthens our faith, that instead of turning to despair, the Lord may lift us up. And all of this is not about us, but it's about what the Lord does through the prayers for the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because God has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who has paid for our sins that we may receive forgiveness. That's why Jesus came, that he can understand what it means to suffer, that he understands what it means to be rejected. He understands what it means to live in a world where there's suffering and hatred and pain. And yet through this all, Jesus didn't sin. So that when he went to the cross, he was that perfect sacrifice, that innocent Lamb of God, that when his blood was shed, it paid for the sins of the world. And so when we look to this cross, we see God saying, I have come to restore you, to redeem you through my Son, Jesus Christ. When you are burdened, look to the cross. Look to Jesus. And so together, we confess our weaknesses. Together, we pray for one another. Maybe not that we may be healed, but that we may be restored. Because that's what Jesus does. He restores our relationship with God. He restores our relationships with others. As a people of God, I think this is so important that we can have this renewed connection with God, that he may work with us, that the world may see the face of Christ in us, forgiven and redeemed. But we also may restore this world to the way God wants it to be. Jesus gives the church this awesome promise through Peter. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That when we pray for each other, it changes eternity. When we forgive sins, it changes eternity. When somebody does not repent and we keep pointing out their error, it changes eternity when they refuse to repent. And so at the heart of persevering together is admitting our weaknesses, admitting our struggles, being okay with saying it's not okay, but then saying, how can I pray for you? And not just saying it, but actually praying for them throughout the week, right? Because prayers make a difference because God makes a difference. Because I believe we are better together. We are better together when we confess our weaknesses and when we pray for one another. May we do that as God's people here at Talmadge Lutheran Church. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ, that by his innocent suffering and death on the cross, you make it possible to confess our weaknesses and to be restored and forgiven. Help us, O Lord, as your redeemed saints, to offer that same comfort and hope to others, that when we hear others' struggles and weaknesses, that we may pray for them, and that through our prayers, the prayers of righteous people are powerful and effective. Lord, we change the world one life at a time. Use us, O Lord, to bring your kingdom on earth, to heal, to restore, to redeem, all by the power of Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name, and all God's people said, amen. Would you please rise as we sing? This is a kind of an old offertory, an old confession, asking God to take our old heart and give us a new heart. So let's sing together, Create in Me, O God.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my soul.